All right, we're going to pick it up in Matthew 25, verse 1. The Bible says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Now, that word "then" should connect it to what he had just been speaking about in chapter number 24. And we know that we're in the book of Matthew. This has application to Israel. This whole thing right here is doctrine or mail directed straight toward the nation of Israel. He's addressing believers here within Israel, and the whole thing has to do with verse number 1, the kingdom of heaven. The nation of Israel looking forward to the earthly kingdom to come. And he had been talking to them about events that were going to happen before that kingdom was set up. And the whole thing talks about his coming. I mean, even in this chapter, verse number 13, the bottom of the verse says, "The Son of Man cometh." In verse number 19, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh." And it goes all the way into verse number 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory." So this whole thing has to do with His second coming. And we know that at this time, the rapture of the body of Christ had not been revealed to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul hadn't even been saved. So all this right here has to do with Israel. And Israel isn't the church, no matter how many people try to make the thing to say you can't make Israel the church, or the church Israel, it won't fit. There will be too many contradictions, and we know the Bible doesn't contradict. So that's where we're at, and I need to make that statement, because a lot of people take a lot of these verses within chapter number 25 and try to make it apply to the body of Christ. And you know, you even get a song out of verse number 6 that said, "And at midnight there was a cry made." You know, and you get that song, "The Midnight Cry," you know, and that referring to the rapture. Well, that's a good song, and I like that song. I'm not even saying, you know, a lot of these songs you can't listen to and stuff like that, but still the doctrine of it, you have to check the doctrine of it. You know, that's like "Jesus Loved Me." You know, that part where it says, if I love Him when I die, you know, I'll have my home on high, something like that. Well, look, I'm gonna be in heaven whether I love Him or not. Well, I may lose my mind, or may, I'm so tragic, that may strike, my love may wane, but guess what? I'm still gonna go to heaven. Why? My love is in Him. If I was going based on my love toward God, I mean, I'd stay out and my dog would go in. Why? Because some days, man, this old flesh, you're fighting this flesh, and some days, man, I'm be honest with you, some days I love the Lord more than I do other days, and it don't mean that I don't love Him. It just means you're fighting this flesh, and we go by emotions oftentimes, and so we have to check the doctrine of things. And man, I wish I could tell you, man, I love the Lord with a full heart every day, and I rejoiced ever more all the time. And I know I should, but that don't mean that I do. Yes. Ephesians talk about works that we should do. That don't mean y'all all the time would do it, and I want to, but in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and when I would do good, evil is present with me. So we're in doctrine here, and that has to do with the nation of Israel. So these 10 virgins here. Now the reason why it says 10 virgins, and it has to do with Israel, because when you see Israel, oftentimes it'll be 10 and 2, 10 and 2. And I don't have time to go over that. And the reason why is because the northern tribes went apostate first. You had 10 northern tribes. You read through 1st and 2nd Kings and all that. And you read the history of Israel. The 10 northern kings went apostate first. And then you had the 2 southern tribes of Judah. So you'll see that 10 and 2 break up oftentimes dealing with the nation of Israel. And that's a common thing. But when we read this thing, these virgins, you have some of these Jehovah's false witnesses, and they'll say something like Revelation 14 has to do with these virgins or us and stuff like that. No, you say, no, the Bible tells you that these are the tribes of Israel over in Revelation. And even in Revelation 14, verse 4, it says, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins." Now that means they're not having to do with those awful, terrible practices that's going to be going on in the religious services of those day. And with some sensitive ear, we won't go into that. But I'll tell you this right here: it's going to get worse and worse. And it's going to get so bad, that they can't join themselves with what's going on there because of the defilement that's going to have to do with the bodies that are going on and what those people are doing. And there's going to be a need to keep themselves pure. Why? Because time is of the essence. It's almost over. And you can't mix yourself with the seed of men because the seed of men at that time is going to be completely defiled. It's going to be awful. Daniel chapter 2, some commentary on that. Genesis 6, commentary on that. And they're going to be mixing themselves. You're seeing this stuff today. Some of these people look so crazy. You go to some of these places, man, and people, and I'm not making fun of them at all, but I know a lot of them have got some serious major issues, but they dress in all black, and they put things that look like horns underneath their skin, and man, they got chains hanging from them. Look like something just out of Revelation, man. I mean, it looks crazy. But I'm just saying, these virgins here, again, the nation of Israel, and you can read Psalm 45. There's a good commentary on that, 13 to 14. Song of Solomon 6, 8 and 9. Mention those virgins there. But they take their lamps, the Bible said, took their lamps and went forth to meet by the bridegroom. Man, I just did a Porky Pig there. I just get kind of excited. But we're going to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to meet the Lord literally in the air. And don't make fun of me. I saw that smile. and it says, and five of them were wise and five were foolish. So you got these wise here, and you got foolish being broken up and half and half type of deal. But what's the wise and what's the foolish? Well, I tell you what, for one thing, you got the foolish. We'll go over them first. They're the ones mentioned in Matthew 13. The Bible talks about this ground that the seed is going to be sown on. And he said in verse number 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And it talks about those sown on stony ground and things like that. Well, guess what? You got those bad hearers. You got the foolish ones, because the issue here is watching for the Lord. Verse number 13. He's telling all these people this because he's saying you need to watch. And here you got these foolish ones, and they're not watching. How do you know? While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Well, see, they're supposed to be watching instead of sleeping. You got chapter 24, verse number 42, tells you there, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Well, you know what they're doing? Sleeping. Sleeping. You know what people are doing today? We're commanded to watch. Paul tells you to watch over in the book of Romans. People are sleeping. Now, a lot of them are sleeping physically. I'll give you that. I mean, some people sleep all day if you let them. And man, I tell you something, man. In one place, I got to where I could sleep one time in my life. But I tell you this right here: you get to where you got some backaches and stuff like that. You lay in the bed too long, you wake up sore. Yeah, literally sore. But sleeping can be a bad thing. I heard a preacher one time say all his as he got older, all his friends were dying. He said he was staying away from the bed. Well, y'all, I'm just saying to watch. We ought to watch too. Why? Because, man, look, I believe the Lord could come any minute. I know some people trying to pinpoint the rapture and all that stuff, and you got people saying he's about to come this spring and all that stuff. They can do that all they want to. But the Apostle Paul was looking for him in his day. Right. If the Apostle Paul was looking for him in his day, I believe I can look for him in my day. I really do. I believe that is biblical to look for him every day. I'm not looking. Here's people, they looking for the Antichrist. And they're looking for, I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Now some will say, well, if the Antichrist were to show up, what do you say? I could say I was wrong. But I tell you this right here, I'll still be looking for Jesus Christ. No matter who shows up, I'm still looking for Jesus Christ. And so I don't care. I don't, if I'm wrong on things, I don't mind saying I'm wrong. But I tell you this, I'm not going to be wrong keeping looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to watch. But see, here, you got a different deal here. Why? Because if these people right here don't watch, verse number 51 of chapter 24 said, "And shall cut him asunder, and appoint him with his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I don't have to worry about if I forget to watch or stop watching, I don't have to worry about going to hell. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, that's hell. So I don't have to worry about that, thank the Lord. But now you got these foolish who stop watching. And they don't do what they're supposed to do in that. But now you got the wise. Let's look at the wise here. It says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." Now, here's one thing. Revelation 13. You don't have to turn if you don't want to. But the wise. Now let's look at this phrase. Let's look at this phrase. It says, verse 18. "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66." Now here's wisdom. Well, they were looking to go into that time. Had the church age not intervened, stoning of Stephen, the church age, but saving Paul and things like that, and God put a break in Daniel's 70th week, and here we are in that. But they were looking at that. Here is wisdom. You know what the wise are doing? They're watching. They're looking at the Word of God. And they're watching to see what's going on, and they're applying wisdom to this situation. You say, well, how would that have anything to do with oil in their vessels, with their lamps? All right, well, for one thing, Psalm 119:105 and Matthew 13:30 give you a little light on this, maybe. Matthew 13:30 on the way back. The Bible says, "Let both grow together into harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." You got two different groups, some wise, some foolish. All right, so the wise are going to be able to go in and enter into that kingdom. But now, what's have to do with the oil and the lamp? Okay, Psalm 119:105. The Bible said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, oil right here, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light." All right, so you got the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. So you got oil being the Holy Spirit is like oil in the Bible. So in this text right here, 105, verse 105, the Holy Spirit powers the light. Now, how do you know that? Well, a lot of people have got the light of the Word. They got the Word. All in Matthew 25:1-13, these people, you got some wise, some foolish, they're going to have the Scripture. So, I know people who, this Word is a light. I know people who have the Bible. You can have it all day long, but if the Holy Spirit don't shed light on it, it's no good. That Word is a lamp, so it's a lamp. Now, how does a lamp have? A lamp has to have oil. And it has to have the light. You can have the lamp there. That Word is a lamp. All right. You can have the lamp. You can have the Word of God. But if you don't have the oil of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word, it's no good. It's just sitting there. Well, see, what he's saying is they had oil in their lamps. What? They actually had the Holy Spirit to light the Word of God. To show them, okay, here's the wise, here is wisdom. They can recognize the Antichrist and say, "Hey, that's the beast system. I'm not being a part of that. That guy is none other than the Antichrist, and y'all are following him, and I'm not following that. I'm wise. I'm gonna have oil in my lamp." All right, so that'll make sense once we get down through here. Well, I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to slumber because I know time is short. I'm going to be watching. The Lord's about to come and rescue me. Now, well, let's build a bridge over here to our dispensation. Well, these things are written for our learning admonition. We may, through the Scriptures, have hope and comfort. Well, I know this right here. I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. If I let Him guide me in the Scriptures, sometimes He'll use somebody else and things like that. But you know what I can do? I can keep my eyes open and not get them shut by watching the events of the world. Why? We don't go by signs. They said, man, you ain't never seen. Seen a time like we're living in now. I don't know. They've been through some pretty tough times in the world the past 2,000 years. I believe I've got a God that can get us through anything. If He got people through the Holocaust, and He got people through what people call the Dark Ages and things like that, He got people through Christian persecutions. There's Christians all over the globe right now, and He's getting them through that.
Yes.
Some of them get promoted. Go to heaven. They say, well, some of them die. Okay, well, they got promoted. Well, they're better off than we are. When you look at it in a godly sense, we hate to see people pass on. But the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Man, they're with the Lord. I tell you something, man, we all want to be with the Lord. That's a blessing. Now, it hurts, but I tell you this right here. If the Lord said it's a blessing for Him to see them, why? Because they trusted His Son for Him to see somebody who placed their faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're up there in glory. Man, I tell you something, you can't beat that. I tell you something, that'll just completely get me in a whole other gear right there. What? Watching. We're supposed to be watching. With the eyes of faith, not our physical eyes of sight. Because I tell you something, man, we keep our eyes on this old world right here, it'll depress you. It will depress you. This world is here to bring you down. The devil has got this thing. See, it's called the course of this world. The devil has got the course of the world designed to get your mind off of the Lord. That's what people don't understand about what's going on. You say, well, why this and why that? Look, the devil has got us so distracted. We're on a road. We're on a road, a street which is called straight, and I'm going to get there no matter what. But guess what? If the devil can keep you distracted on the way, he knows he can make you cause all kinds of damage.
Yeah.
He can't keep you from getting there, but he can cause you to have all kinds of damage. So what does he do? He keeps us distracted on the way. Man, I'll tell you something. You know, that's just like driving down the road or something like that. I used to have a truck with big mud tires on it and stuff like that. And I'll tell you something, man. I could run off the road. I could hit a dog and all kind of stuff. I'd still get where I was going. But you know what? I had a big old bumper on that thing. And that truck was all kinds of protected. I had a brush guard on that truck. And man, I could hit something and keep on going. I get to my destination, but I tore all kinds of stuff up getting there. Well, you know what? We're protected. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But we might do a lot of damage getting there if we don't keep our eyes on the road and we don't keep our eyes on the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do a lot of damage from here to heaven. And see, that's why we've got to watch. But now with them, their salvation is in view. Why? They don't have the sealing of the Holy Spirit like we do. That's a church age, body of Christ thing. We're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. And they don't get their full redemption until the coming, Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, until He gets there. And so they're in a different thing here. Why? We'll see. I mean, you get some of this thing like verse 30 of chapter 25. It says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant. You get a servant in the outer darkness, there should be weeping, gnashing teeth. Brother, I don't have to worry about that. That's not me. That's not my mail. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that's not addressed to me. That's like getting a bill, getting a wrong doctor bill. Somebody sends something to you with $25,000 or something like that. My. I wouldn't want that to be my mail. I mean, this right here, man, that's a different program. Israel's program is not the same as ours. So what you have is that wise are the ones who have the Holy Spirit lighting their lamp, the lamp of the Word of God. And they're watching. It says so in verse number 6, here's the faithful few. This is, you hear a lot of people, I've heard sermons on the wise virgins, I've heard sermons on the foolish and who had no oil. I've heard sermons on that group, but I hadn't heard any sermons on, and at midnight there was a cry made. Now who made the cry? Well, the faithful few. The believers made the cry. You got some of them. You got some believers who were wise. But you got a whole another group here. You got one group that's making a cry because some people will take the word. Yes, some of them got it, and they got light on. They know not to do. They know what not to do. But some people know what not to do, and then they actually do something about what they do know. Yeah. That makes a great big difference, right? I know all kinds. Hey, there are people out there that know way more Bible than others. But there are some people who take what little, so to speak, they do know and they apply it and they actually do something about it.
Yeah.
These some people right here, they say, hey, the Lord's about to come back. This thing serious. There's an Antichrist up there and I've got the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom's about to come. I'm going to get out here and I'm going to cry out and say, hey, you need to get saved. You know what we're supposed to do? Keep crying out. Keep crying. I wonder if, in light of events that's taking place in people's lives, if they just said, all right, well, I'm taking a break from crying out. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible where you take a break from crying out to somebody.
Yeah.
You're supposed to still try to get the gospel out, try to promote it, try to do what you can to get that cry out there. And I tell you, these right here, they said, behold, what are they doing? They're preaching the coming. The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. He said, man, you need to get out here. You need to go meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. You know what? You have to get it from the Lord. He said, go ye out to meet him. You know what other people try to do? They try to get stuff from other folks. You know, I've borrowed all kind of wisdom from all. I've got books on my shelves. I've got sermons I listen to and stuff like that, and I can get guidance and things like that from other people. But you can't ride on the spiritual coattails of anybody to heaven.
Yeah.
That salvation, you got to get salvation. You got to get the Holy Spirit from God alone. You can't go buy it from nobody else or anything like that. You have to get it from the Lord Himself. Go ye out to meet Him. You got to get it from the Lord. And people try to get it other way. I'm going to tell you this, right? That's like knowledge and stuff like that. It's no other easy way. Don't just jam into your mind. We watched a movie years ago. And they had this one guy. And they punched this program into the computer. And it's jammed all that stuff in his mind in a matter of minutes. You can't do that. That's not how it's through the school of hard knocks. You've got to sit there and actually listen, make notes, read, pray, study. That stuff comes with time. You run across somebody that's got some Bible knowledge. It wasn't that stuff was just jammed in there in 30 minutes. It takes a daily relationship. Who? With Him. He says over here, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. That's kind of selfish sounding right there. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, there's a lot in that statement right there, but I want to say something about buying. Number one, if you'll turn to Isaiah 55, I'm going to give you a Pauline verse to show you we don't have to buy anything. While you turn to Isaiah 55, I'm going to read for you Romans 5:18, and to keep you in 18, to keep you from having to go through the great tribulation, all you got to do is do this right here. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift. I don't have to buy anything. All I got to do is just receive it. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Came upon all men unto justification of life. So we get a free gift. But now, we can't jump too hasty and say, well, they got to take out their wallet and buy anything. There's a way to buy it. And the Lord tells you how to get it. He's going to tell Israel how to get it too. He says, ho. Not Santa Claus, ho, ho, ho. Counterfeiter. But you got a ho, like land ho. That's attract attention to. That's like when somebody says land ho, it's attracting attention. He says, attention ho, everyone that thirsteth. Everyone, I'm not going to get into that. He says, everyone that thirsteth. Are you thirsty? I like that he didn't say talented or learned or good. He said thirsty. Now, he says, come ye to the waters. Who's the fountain of living water? John chapter 7. The fountain, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he that hath no money. Don't have to have no money. You don't have to take the mark of the beast. And you can buy or sell or eat or drink. You don't have to have a dime. Watch this. Come ye to buy. See, come ye, buy. He said, they said, you need to go and buy for yourselves. Okay? So how are you going to get it if you don't have your money? He tells you how to buy without money and eat. Here, you want some bread? You want the bread of life? Want the Lord Jesus Christ? Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know what you got to do? All they got to do is he made that cry out there and said, hey, if you believe the gospel of the kingdom right here and believe this preaching, the word of God, they're going to have directions on what to do, and it won't cost them anything. They won't have to buy or sell or eat or drink or be a part of that system. All they have to do is go through Jesus Christ instead of the Antichrist. You see that right there? Why? He says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Look, physical bread is not the same as spiritual bread. And your labor. See that labor right there? Well, he says, come ye to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See how that's connected there? It says, for that which satisfieth not, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul, see, spiritual, delight itself in fatness. You know what he's saying? Just focus on the spiritual a little while longer. And you can buy it without money, without price. Soul, it's a spiritual thing. It's an inside thing. He said, don't let your God be your belly. You know what we can do? We can apply that to us and saying, we need to make sure we apply ourselves to the spiritual before we do the physical. You know what's more important in this life, contrary to what is being taught today? Through the media and the news feeds and all that stuff, they're telling you your physical is more important than your spiritual. Yeah. Now, they got roundabout ways to do it. I understand that. But you know what? I wish people were half as concerned.
Hey. Yes.
Half. Mm-hmm. With their spiritual well-being as they are their physical well-being. You know what? We'd have a whole lot more spiritual church as a whole. The church as a whole, especially America, I can speak for Americans because I am one. I don't know about other countries. But I can say this right here, common sense, I tell you this. It's so much ungodliness going on because it's not anybody's godly.
Yeah.
Now, common sense tell you, say, well, how is all these people wicked and this wicked over here? Because people aren't serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Servants of the Lord Jesus Christ follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They want the Lord Jesus Christ in the courthouses. They want the Lord Jesus Christ in the school. They want Christ first in the church. So what's going on? Somebody not saved. That's all. It's just that simple. Why? You got a nation. Well, it's a godly nation. No, it's not. Man, this nation needs prayer. Man, this world we're living in needs the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the greatest thing can happen? It's not a great thing to happen with an election. The greatest thing that can happen is the Lord Jesus Christ to return and fix it. It's not going to be fixed until He does. That's why our hope's in Him. And so he says, you need to buy, and the Lord gives them the directions on how to buy, and I'm sure they'll be preaching that. They're going to have the book of Isaiah, and they can go through there and tell them how to get that thing. Why? The Bible says knowledge is going to be increased. Man, God's going to be able to bring that thing to their memory. God told them in the book of John, He said, man, I'll be able to bring that thing to your memory. You won't even have to think on what you're going to have to say when you get up there. I'm going to bring those scriptures to your mind. Boom, 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 boom. And they're going to be able to go there and connect them things. You think we can connect verses? They're going to be able to connect them right then. They're going to have it right there on their mind, right there on their tongue, fresh. And brothers and sisters, it's going to be amazing. God's going to do amazing things, exploits. And He says, let's see, verse number 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You know what that's showing you? You can wait too long. Mm-hmm. The door was shut. Well, here, you know, the Lord stands at the door and knocks, and if the Lord openeth, no man can shut, and the Lord shut, no man can open. But you know what people think they can do? They think concerning salvation, I'll wait, I'll wait, I'll wait, I'll wait, I'll wait, I'll wait, I'll wait. Well, boast not thyself of tomorrow. But thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, today, oh, I got time. I guarantee you, I got time, man. I'll enjoy a little while, and I'll, one of these days, and almost persuadest thou me, and things like that. Okay, well, you wait too long, you're going to be in a mess. You know what people are doing right now? They're waiting. They're waiting too long. It's sad to see it. You know, you think in light of the events of the things that's happened just this year, and so much sickness and so much death and things like that, you think people would turn to the Lord.
Yeah.
But I see Christians turn to the Lord when they go through a hard time. And man, what a blessing, what a joy it is to see God work in those situations, those hearts and lives. But a Christian, it's a known fact for people who've been serving the Lord long enough, a Christian will lean on the Lord. But you know what happens to lost people? They get worse and worse. You say, why is evil going to get worse and worse? The Bible said in the last days, the church age, perilous times have come. And it says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You know what's going to happen? As things get worse and worse, their heart, they're in the stream of this world. So as the world gets worse and worse, they're in the course of this world. They get worse and worse just like the world does. Why? Because they're going with the world. As the world gets worse, they get worse. But you know what a Christian does? As things get worse, we lean on the Lord more. We lean on the Lord more. We lean on the Lord more. We say, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I'm weak. Lord, you're strong and I'm weak. And guess what happens? He takes your weakness and does something with it. He can't do anything with our strength. Why? Because our strength is nothing compared to His strength. But He can take our weakness and do something with it. He said, now you're weak. Now I can feel you. Why? You're fighting against me too much. The Spirit of God not always going to strive. So we get in here with our strength and it's a striving. Well, I'm strong in this area. And the Holy Spirit's like, nope. I'm not going to feel you because you're not yielding to me. You're fighting against this. I need you weak. And if you're weak, I can use you. So you know what? What's going on here? People just waiting too long. You know what? We can wait too long to serve God. We pass up all kinds of... I wonder how many people have passed up opportunities saying, well, you know, we'll do it next month or in a few months down the road. And I can't tell you how much time as I look back I've wasted saying, man, maybe 2 months down the road or, you know, the best time to do it now.
Yeah.
Get an idea, go ahead and do it now. Get somebody... You know what I'm learning right now? And I'm trying, if God will help me, I want to get better about this. If I wake up at 2:00 at night and I get somebody on my mind, not quite a week ago, I got somebody on my mind. You know, I'm learning to do. I roll over right then and start praying.
Man.
Just do it right then because we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe I'm not able to pray. Maybe I'm sick or something like. Best thing to do is start praying right then.
Man.
If we can do something, best thing to do is now. You know what they should have done? As soon as they heard somebody say, hey, you don't need to be worrying about buying and selling spiritual things. You need to be worried about, physical things. You need to be worried about the spiritual thing. Go ahead and do it now. But see, what happened is they wanted to wait when the door was shut. Well, that's how it was. He said it as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be and also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You know what happened? They waited till the door was shut and then they scratched it on the door and Noah couldn't do anything about it. Noah was the preacher. You got people preaching saying the midnight cry and the Lord's about to come. Don't wait till the door gets shut. It's going to be too late. You know what people are doing? Church age, as it comes to a close, I don't know when it's going to come to a close, brothers and sisters. I really don't. But I know we're one day, every day, we're always one day closer to it getting here. One of these days, grace has been through all dispensations, and it'll be some grace in the tribulation period. I'll grant people that, but nothing like it is today. Nothing. One day that door is going to shut, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to be a part of the wrath of God. The tribulation period is called the wrath of God. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, Revelation 6. So you know what people are doing? They're literally, alright, let's say the door, here's that door right there. And each day, I'm trying not to get too close to everybody, each day the Lord's just getting a little bit closer. And a little bit closer to that door. And a little bit closer. That door's open right now. And one day He's going to reach up there and say, okay, this dispensation's over. He's going to shut it and we're going to go up. And He's going to start back dealing with Israel. And you know what? If that door's shut, He's been warning them right here. He said, Well, the door's shut. We tried to tell you. And we're going to be able to say that same thing, too, once the rapture's happened. You ain't going to be able to open that hole up in the sky again and say, man, I wish I could get up. Nope. That God is the door, and He's the one that can open that door up there to that third heaven. He's the only one that can do that. And when He opens that door and we're able to go up there, once that thing is shut, that's it. And I'll tell you something, man, it's getting closer and closer. I hope people trust the Lord Jesus Christ, Him alone. Verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open. Open to us. Don't that sound familiar? Lord, Lord. Many will say, Lord, Lord. And He's going to say, thou wicked servant. You know, they're going to say, I believe it was Matthew 7. I bet my reference Bible had a reference to it probably. Yeah, He said they're going to say, many will say to Me in that day, the foolish virgins, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Yeah, they were virgins and they had the Word and everything, but they didn't have the oil. That shows you that people can prophesy in the name of the Lord without the Holy Spirit. And in Thy name have cast out devils like Judas without the Holy Spirit. And in Thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them the worst words in the Bible right here. I never knew you. Depart from Me, you that work iniquity. I believe those are the worst words that somebody could ever hear. The Lord Jesus say, depart from Me. I never knew you. It says this, but He answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Matthew 7:23. You know what He's saying right here, verse 13? So, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The whole thing has to do with watch. The whole thing has to do with they need to be watching for the Lord to come. And so we need to be watching. You know, you think about the watch that we have. I mentioned it earlier, but if I may turn to it and build this bridge over here to us. I like to always make dispensational distinctions with practical applications, but I want to say it's, I was thinking it's Romans 13. Let's see here. I'll be so mad whenever I find that and I couldn't find it right here. I'm probably looking at it. Verse 11 of suffice, it says in Romans 13, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. All right, well, that means we need to be watching. Yeah. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us. Paul, he said, hey, us. He included, cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. You know how you put it on? Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Man, don't that fit right here where we're at? Not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. That's pretty good advice, I believe, for watching. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I believe that's pretty good advice for us. Pretty good bridge there. You know what we need to do? Be watching. And I'm watching for Him, waiting. Watching and waiting. I wish I could sing. Looking above. Looking above. That's what we're going to do. We'll close out.